Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. It is Thanksgiving week and it is a great time to thank a farmer for the abundant food, fuel, and fiber that's produced here in America and which frankly is helping feed a large part of the rest of the world as well. So I want to start out by just saying that. We thank all farmers, it doesn't matter what commodity or where they're located. They're all valuable and important, and we appreciate what they do. And in my program this week, we're going to learn a little bit about one of our most recent sponsors for AgWire.com, and that's Paulson Marketing, which sponsored our coverage of the NAMA Trends in Agriculture Conference that took place just a couple weeks ago. And so I have with me Brian and Greg, and we're going to just have a conversation here and get to know Paulson. I don't think we've ever had a chance to do that before, guys.
No, thanks, Chuck. This is a great opportunity to visit with you here today.
And we're doing this by Skype. Just want to mention that because I think a growing number of people keep asking me about recording interviews. In fact, it's interesting to me to see the organizations and even companies that are now starting to do, quote, their own new media, and of course asking, you know, what kinds of equipment do you use? And, you know, Skype, when it comes to doing interviews, I've got equipment sitting here on a shelf I'd be happy to practically give away to somebody that we used to use to connect to a phone line. And I just don't use it anymore. The computer and Skype are working pretty well. But having said that, let's just kind of get started here. And, you know, Greg, maybe first of all, you could just give us a little bit of background on Paulson. You know, how did it get started? Who is Paulson? And then we'll get into some of the types of work and clients that you work with.
Sure, Chuck. Paulson Marketing was started in 1951 by a gentleman by the name of Morris Paulson, who was a journalist and a playwright of sorts that returned from the war and worked for a local furniture company doing their advertising, and had a number of people that came to him wanting him to do their advertising as well. And so over a period of time, he decided to put out a shingle and start an advertising agency, Paulson Advertising at that time. And it was the first full-service advertising agency in the state of South Dakota, founded in 1951. Morey died in 1987, and his son Thane took over the reins of the agency at the ripe old age of 27 or 28, I believe, and has been leading the agency for a number of years up until last year when Thane became CEO and I was named president of Paulson Marketing. We have 33 employees on staff here. We're located in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We have an account executive with us over in Madison, Wisconsin, that works remotely for our agency. And over the last few years, we've focused almost entirely our efforts on agriculture and the rural lifestyle markets, although probably 70% of our annual billings are related to ag and rural lifestyle, with 30% being business-to-business or consumer.
Okay. Well, good. Well, you know, like I said, we really appreciate having the opportunity to work with you at that NAMA session again this year. And, you know, I think it's interesting as an agency working with such a large percentage of your business in ag that it seems like you guys get it when it comes to some of this new media and social networking that's taking place. And, you know, to me, what says to a potential client or an existing client that you do get it is you're employing these mechanisms even on your own website to market yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you might want to point us to your website and some of the ways that you're trying to, because, you know, I think agencies like yourself often spend so much time promoting their clients, they sort of forget to promote themselves, it seems like. But there's nothing wrong with that. And I think if you're doing a good job, that kind of suggests you might be doing it for your clients too, right?
Sure. No, definitely. And even though we're 58 years old, we truly are embracing the new technologies that are available as far as marketing communications go. We really believe that the future is very, very much dependent on the new digital strategies and the new interactive capabilities that are out there to communicate. And we've come upon this discovery not only in visiting with our existing clients, but as we approach potential new clients, that seems to be the area of interest of talking about how can I harness the power of the internet to really maximize my company's exposure and grow my business in that way. And so, you know, those are the things that we've been talking a lot about lately. And as you mentioned, on our own website, we're utilizing a lot of the new digital strategies and the new social media abilities, such as tweeting. And I have a blog on our website called On the Road. I travel a fair amount, and so I always have some interesting observations to make from these travels. And surprisingly, we've got quite a few people following this blog now. Brian, I don't know if you would have any numbers on that, but
we have about 1,800 or 1,900 followers, I would guess, right now. Growing all the time. One of the cool things that we've been able to do with Greg's blog too is incorporate video. We've done some interviews, for example. We've posted a lot of the things that we did at NAMA and also at NAFB Trade Talk on the blog, so people can not only read what Greg says, but there'll be interesting interviews with our clients as well as other ag leaders and ag thought leaders that we can share as well.
Well, I'm one of those followers, just so you know. And
thank you.
In fact, I travel a lot too, as a lot of people I think know, and I am a little behind on my feeds at the moment. But that's part of my today and tomorrow is to get my feeds scanned and read and email. I've got it down to a couple hundred.
Yeah, I know. It can get very busy. I think that's one of the keys that we talk with our clients about, too, is that if you are going to commit to this, and we recommend that they do, because it's a great way to have an ongoing conversation with your customers, that you make sure that you continue to be an active participant in it, that you can't just put a thought out there and let it go and then come back 2 days later and see what's going on. You've got to really have a commitment to make this work, because it's social media and it's social for a reason, in that there's always conversations going on and people are talking about you and your products whether you're there or not, so you might as well be part of the conversation.
That's right. Well, you know, you mentioned your clientele. Want to give us just a little overview of the kind of companies you're working with currently?
Well, I can give you a short list of some of our clients. Kubota Tractor Corporation has been a client of ours for 10 years now, and we're pretty proud of the fact that we've worked with those folks. Be our 10-year anniversary in early December. Other clients would be Wild Blue High Speed Internet, delivered by satellite, Ridley Block Operations over in Mankato, Minnesota. AgStar Financial Services, also in Mankato, Minnesota. Crone Hay and Forage Technology in Memphis. Brian, am I missing some that we should be adding here?
Oh, well, gosh, let's see. We do a lot of work with Ag United, which is Ag United for South Dakota. They promote, it's a consortium of five of the major farm groups in South Dakota helping to promote family farming. And they've been a really good client of ours since their inception. We do a lot of work with corn growers and soybean boards in South Dakota and some of the regional clients like that.
Well, when you talk about your clients and their involvement in agriculture, trying to reach farmers, maybe even a consumer audience about farm, and they're wondering, how do we make use of some of these new media and social media tools? Because I dare say that most people are convinced that these are now viable channels, but I think there's still a lot of head scratching over how do we make use of them. What are some of the questions you get from clients, and how do you answer them?
Well, I think the first thing we do with our clients, because there is still a lot of skepticism about how this is going to work and what do we have to do, because one of the things, it almost seems too easy when they first look at this and they go, you mean we don't have to buy a bunch of equipment? Well, no, if you have a computer and you have access to the online, you can begin to work this. But the first thing that we really emphasize beyond that is it's easy to get into, but it's also easy to not do it well. So the advice that we got, and it was actually a phrase coined by one of our creative folks, is lurk and learn. The first thing to do is just kind of look at what's out there in social media, kind of find the area that you're in, like if you're into farm equipment or grains or anything like that, or rural lifestyle issues, find some areas where they're talking about that in the different mediums, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or any of the other social mediums. Look around, watch for a while, see what the conversations are like, and then while you're doing that, also be talking with your agency and with your the people at your company about what you want to say and what you want to accomplish with this. Set some goals as to what you do so that by the time you're ready to actually dive in, you've got a pretty good template as to how you want to do and how you want to proceed. And then also, there's not a great deal of commitment in terms of equipment because, as I said, you have everything pretty much on your desktop. But the main commitment is time and thought. Mm-hmm. And so you need to make sure that someone in your organization, at least one person, is committed to regularly, and I don't mean even just once a day, but on a regular, almost hourly basis, checking in, seeing what's being said, and figuring out how you're going to send your messages out.
And Chuck, to add to that, you know, we've always said that content is king regarding the internet, and with social media, that applies equally. The message needs to be very relevant, very meaningful, and as Brian says, there needs to be a fair amount of thought put into, you know, the message you want out there and how you want to be perceived by the audience that you're that's reading your information.
And Greg and Sarah recently attended a NAMA North Central conference meeting, and Sarah Stever, our Director of Interactive Services, shared a white paper that she has.
Right. She's written a white paper that is available on our website called Are Ag Producers Ready for Social Media? And it's a lot of interesting information that she's compiled about producer use of social media, and I think a number of agribusinesses would be interested in taking a look at that just to see what her thoughts are regarding that. And there's also a PowerPoint presentation that she delivered to that NAMA chapter meeting last week that is kind of her discussion of why agribusinesses should get involved in social media and how to go about doing that. And both that PowerPoint and that white paper are available on our website at paulsonmarketing.com.
Well, so when you have a client that does get engaged in these mechanisms, or maybe is outsourcing that to your company, for example, how do you, you know, the big question, and I did at least one post yesterday on AgWired about it, is how do they come to feel like they've made a good investment, even if it is not, say, as significant as it might be for some other types of marketing campaigns that they would do?
Well, that's always the tough question when you're getting started with this. Part of it is just a general awareness of who's out there and who's talking to you. That's a benefit. But then as you work into campaigns and messages that you want to promote in traditional media, because one of the things we always emphasize is we don't want to abandon traditional media. We want to want traditional media and social media and new media to work together. And so we try and emphasize that, for example, if you have a big event coming up that you want to promote, you certainly want to advertise it in maybe some traditional media, but you also want to make sure that you're talking about it in the conversations online and reinforcing what you have to say, again, with new products or introductions. And then, of course, there's also customer service questions and issues because, as we've said before, people are talking about you out there, whether you're in the conversation or not. And a lot of times it can be people who aren't happy with your service or have questions about your service and are asking people. So if you're not monitoring that and keeping track of it, you're not getting a full effect and you're letting people carry the conversation about you without you. Mm-hmm. So it's tough to measure some ROI, I think, in that sense. But there are ways, certainly, in terms of search engine optimization and other things that can make a difference.
Well, and speaking of that, I mean, there are a number of kinds of services that you might employ. While we were talking, I went to socialmention.com as an example to type in Paulson Marketing. And see where you're showing up out there, and Yeah, there's some website called agwire.com that's showing up there.
I'll be darned. I've heard of that.
Yeah. Well, let's see. As you kind of look forward, maybe you could give us some sense of how your company feels about the market itself right now. You know, ag has always got sectors that are up or down, and we sure don't see that any different this year. You know, whether it's the, you know, the weather that's really affected harvesting some of these soybeans and significantly corn out there. You name it. I mean, we've had the pork industry's just had a heck of a year. But when you look at what your business is with your clients, how would you describe or characterize it, and how you think of the future?
Sure. Well, we've been doing a lot of end-year planning with our clients during the fourth quarter here, where we're looking ahead to 2010 and putting marketing programs and plans in place to begin with the new year. And most of our clients seem kind of relieved to be getting through 2009, that this early part of the year certainly had a lot of uncertainty to it with the economic recession. Things seemed to kind of pick up in late spring through the summer and fall. And for the most part, business has been pretty good. And although I certainly agree with you, the pork people and the dairy people have certainly been really hit hard with some of the downturns in their markets this past year. But the dairy outlook is looking better, and certainly there's a lot of hope that the swine market will improve as well. But most of the people that we talk to are looking forward to the new year. They're reasonably optimistic about business prospects and seem to want to just kind of get 2009 as this kind of uncertain transition year behind them and into the new year.
Okay, well, that sounds good to me, and I would echo that. I mean, we are working with a number of agencies and companies and organizations, and that's kind of my sense, too. There's a lot of optimism. And different sectors have been hit in different ways, but that's not abnormal. It's kind of why it's not a bad idea, whether you're an agency or other company, to be sort of diversified, right?
Mm-hmm. And more long term, we're very optimistic about the future of agriculture. You know, and the 3 to 5 year outlook is very good. The world demand for food continues to grow. You know, more and more American producers are looked for to grow the additional production that's going to be needed. And so longer term, we're very optimistic about the future of agriculture and really want to play an important role in that.
Well, what else would you like people to know about Paulson Marketing that we have not touched on?
Well, we just recently kind of took on a new mantra for us, which is authentic. And I think that kind of says a lot about who we are. We are very ag-based. A large majority of our folks grew up on farms or in farming in rural communities. So we have a good background and a love for agriculture. But we also want to make sure that we tell good stories about the remarkable things that are going on, both the producers and the companies that rely on the producers and rely on consumers. So I think authentic is kind of a good theme for us to carry forward.
And to echo Brian's comments, Chuck, you know, a lot of people kind of wonder about an agency located in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Well, that's kind of odd. But the one thing I always tell people about us is that we have this very unusual combination of talent and experience that we've brought together here at Paulson in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And people are really surprised once they kind of hear our story about, you know, the depth and breadth of the experience that we bring and then just the talent of the people that we have on board here. I'm always just so impressed and so proud of the creative talent that we have here and their abilities to help a client tell their story in that unusual and unique way.
Well, I can relate to that. I mean, not too many people know that, you know, what Holt Summit is, which is the home of Zimcom's world headquarters.
That's right.
So I can relate, but, you know, it's a different world we're living in today, and frankly, some of the things we've talked about are possible because of the technology even, and thank goodness for that, you know?
Yep. But, well, as one of the folks said at during the NAMA Trends Conference, you know, these days a producer, a farmer goes out into the leaves the house with three things, you know, his cap, his keys, and his cell phone. And he's connected to the world in ways that he never was before. And because of those connections that we all share now, it opens up great possibilities for agri-marketing in the future.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you guys. I think that is great. I've really enjoyed talking with you and having you on as in this week's Zimcast. And so we'll look forward to seeing you, I'm sure, if not on the road. We're certainly connected through the ways we've talked about here. In fact, my latest tweet does have an at Paulson Marketing in it. So
absolutely. Well, we want to thank you too, Chuck, for helping letting us talk about Paulson a little bit. And as importantly, thank you for opening up the world's eyes a little bit, especially the ag world's eyes, to the possibilities that are out there. AgWired and Zimcom has done a great job of leading the way in a lot of areas, and we've certainly recognized that and appreciate it too.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it. Well, that's our Zimcast for this week. We've enjoyed talking with Paulson Marketing, and I'll just conclude by saying once again how much we want to thank farmers and ranchers in America and throughout the world for that matter for all they do as we are in this Thanksgiving week. It's definitely a good time to do that, and we'll make sure we do our best to bring that to everybody's attention via our channels. So I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.